This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto yet another edition of the Kona Edge, and it's a very special festive edition with Christmas approaching this weekend. If you do celebrate, Merry Christmas to you and yours. I hope you have a wonderful celebration. And the podcasts keep coming right throughout the festive season. I hope you are enjoying them. And today's is going to be no different. I get to share another incredible story. Funnily enough, I get lots of emails in from people asking me to chat to people in older age groups. So we try and keep the spreads as wide as possible. But today we're going into one where, I say the older age groups, it's as competitive, if not more competitive than the younger age groups. But today's athlete is an absolute machine, and she's got a pretty cool story to share as well. And now, without further ado, let's get straight into it. And it's a pleasure to welcome Sydney Tervoort onto the podcast. Sydney, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Sydney, this is going to be sort of published in a few weeks, but as we're recording this today, it's Thanksgiving in the U.S., and happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you so much for chatting to me on a day that I know is pretty special to most Americans. I really do appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I have a little extra time today, so that was a perfect day for me to talk with you.
Sydney, I'm fascinated. You obviously raced in Kona in 2016, and you were just telling me before we started recording, you've raced again subsequently in Arizona, at Ironman Arizona, and qualified again for the Big Island. Two big races like that 6 weeks apart, that's pretty impressive. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good. I'm surprised by that as well. I went into that one just kind of throwing my hat in the ring to see what happened. I've never raced that close together, so I was trusting my coaches and gave it a shot. So I was really pleased with the outcome.
It's obviously worked. Is it something you would suggest someone do if they're in that sort of position?
Well, I think since I did it and as I was getting ready to do it, where I thought, you know, a lot of people said that's crazy, and I said, yeah, I would have thought that's crazy too. But I was hearing in Arizona that a lot of the pros do the same thing, is like using the fitness coming off of Kona and just kind of, you know, doing whatever workouts in between, but using all that fitness where they gained going to Kona. So I think a lot of people do actually do that. It wasn't something I would have thought of doing without my coaches' encouragement.
That is incredible. And I know for a lot of people as well, they feel they don't have too many full-distance Ironman races in their body in a year. For you, what would you say your max is? How many do you realistically think you could race hard in a year?
Well, I think that's an interesting question, because I think I started doing Ironmans in Chattanooga in 2015, so just a little over a year ago. And so since Chattanooga 2015, I've done four, and that's the only four I've ever done in my life. I came from a marathoning world, so I just started triathlon. So I think four in like 13, 14 months is probably as many as I want to.
I'm sure. I'm hoping you're going to take some time off now, particularly with the thick of winter on its way. Are you taking a bit of a break? What's the plan?
Well, the plan is just going back to what we do here in the winter. We do CompuTrainer. So, yeah, I'm taking a break. The next race isn't until Oceanside in April. So through the winter, we do a lot of indoor biking and then running off the bike and treadmills and so a lot of indoor training, but yeah, much more of a break in terms of hours and training.
Let's take a step back and sort of dig a bit into your athletic history and where it all started for you. You mentioned a running background. How long have you been a runner? Have you been active like that all your life, or is this something that's come on in fairly recent times?
Well, always active. I started dancing when I was two and did the dancing gymnastics thing all the way through high school. And then didn't do anything in college, but came back in the 80s, where, of course, the aerobic scene was very big. So I was an aerobics instructor, moved from there after I had my kids into running, just shorter distances, 5 and 10Ks. And then it wasn't until about 2000 that I started running marathons. And so over the course from 2000 to like 2013, 14, I did 27 marathons. So that was kind of where I was the running. And I decided to do a half Ironman that was just local here because I always have liked to bike on my off days. So I just had to learn to swim. I got in the pool to see if I could actually swim a mile. So there we were good.
Minor details, the swim in a triathlon, isn't it?
and then go from there. So that was just like 2.5 years ago. So I just kind of moved into triathlon, starting with a half, and then got a coach. And from there, I've stayed with my same coach and my same team of coaches and gone into half Ironmans and full Ironmans.
See, that's incredible. And I'm not going to give you age away. I'm going to say that you are in the 60 to 64 age group, so we can sort of work out from there. But it, for me, that's incredible that you took up the sport of triathlon. Yes, you come from a running background, but you've only been in the sport for a few years, and it's incredible what you've been able to achieve.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's all new to me. So every time I'm always the one that's doubting myself. And so every time I'm able to pull it off, I'm really always kind of really pleasantly surprised.
What do your kids think of this?
You know, they're in their 20s. And because they've always seen me either be running or doing something, they're really the least interested. I mean, it's not that they're not interested. It's just that they're not. It's not surprised by it, I guess, because I'm always, involved in something. So they don't say much. They congratulate me.
Are they pretty active? Do they really comprehend and understand the magnitude physically of what it is that you do?
They are active, but not in triathlon. One of them has always been a snowboarder and works at one of our local ski resorts. The other one in high school played football, lacrosse. Has always been into sports and works actually at a fitness center here. So yeah, they are involved in different kinds of sports, but never, I don't know, not biking. Neither one of them, I don't think, had ever swam. I'm pretty sure that wouldn't happen.
Definitely not in the middle of winter. Not in winter in Utah. They're definitely not.
Yeah, I wouldn't throw them in the water and hope that they survived at this point, but.
Sydney, as far as running and taking up running with kids, it's difficult. I know my wife, we've got three kids ourselves, and it's something that she struggles with, and it's probably only in the last probably 6 months that we've sort of got a handle of when we can do it and try and get training in around the kids, but it's something a lot of women do struggle with.
Yeah, and that is what got me into it. That's when I switched, was when my kids, they were 19 months apart. And so while one was in preschool, I had the other one in a jogging stroller. So I switched from teaching aerobics, which was harder because everybody has to juggle their schedules, to running the 5 and 10Ks because I just had a jogging stroller. And so my time, I had to work it out between working and my son's preschool to I would go out and run and have the other one in a baby jogger. So that's kind of how I managed it through. And then my husband's always, tried to help and do the handoff and try and figure it out as well. It is hard.
It's important to have that support structure and the help in place to allow you to do it. Otherwise, it just wouldn't be possible, would it?
Exactly. It wouldn't be possible. You have to have someone because you can't just leave your kids, obviously.
Sometimes you feel like you'd like to, but you're definitely not allowed to. That's, I think, is the rule.
Exactly. Yeah, so that would be a good one.
You took up running. Obviously, it was to stay fit. Were you competitive when you started, or has that come sort of later on in your athletic career?
No. That was kind of like the same thing with Ironmans. When I had been, like I said, so active younger, but I hadn't been a runner. So the first one of my clients had encouraged me to come to a 5K with her, and I actually won my age group and placed in the top 10. So it was a surprise to me that I was able to run, but I think it was just the training that I'd been doing enabled me to, switch over to running. So it was the 5Ks in the beginning. So I was pretty fast at that. So and successful at that. So that encouraged me to move on into 10Ks and then onto the half marathons and then full marathons later in life. I couldn't train for the full marathons when my kids were little. There was just not that much time.
Yeah, I mean, it is difficult, and that's obviously something my wife is struggling with now. She's got a couple of running goals. She would love to do an Ironman or perhaps a half, but she's got some big running goals, and she wants to run a couple of ultras and next year, and that's something we're working towards. But it is a definite juggle. Talk to me about the managing a career, being a mom, athletic. It's a lot of pressure on you, isn't it?
It is. When the kids were younger, that was the bigger thing. And of course I went back to school and got my master's. So I was juggling the kids and school and working at the same time. So there wasn't a lot of intense training then, just more the shorter distances. As my kids have gotten older and need me less there, it's my career, juggling training with a full-time career is, probably my biggest challenge. So a lot of times it's mornings or it's lunchtime and it's night. I'm often getting off the treadmill at 9 or 10 at night. You just fit it in when you can.
I guess
my least favorite is the 6 a.m. swims. I mean, I love the 6 a.m. swims. My least favorite time is the 6 a.m., but I do it.
You love the 6 a.m. swims when they finished.
Yeah, I do. And I love being there because it's the team swim and it's friends and it's the coaches and it's a lot of fun once you get there. But oh my goodness, 5:30 in the morning, you're thinking, is this a really good idea?
Sydney, what's been the biggest lesson that Ironman has taught you?
To listen to my coaches, to trust the training. Because when you step back, I mean, for me, when I stepped back and looked at 140.6 miles and I looked at swimming 2.4, and then, you know, if you just go out on a bike ride that's 100 miles, you think, oh, my gosh, could I really run a marathon after this? So to trust the training, trust the plan, and to know that on race day, everything that I've done is enough. So that's what triathlon is, or Ironman has taught me, is that you can do it. Your body can do way more than you think it can. And I just never could fathom. I couldn't get my arms around the fact that your body could do that much.
That is probably one of the biggest things that novices and newbies need to or really struggle and grapple with, is the mental side of it. Because, yes, it is a real physical challenge. And now that you've done a good few of these things now, too, you know this, that it's your mind gives up long before your body does, that you can do it. You just need to know and believe that you can do it.
Exactly. Because before I tried it, I had enough trust in my coaches, and I also, on our team, enough of the people that I trained with and knew were like, oh, yeah, you can do this. I mean, I just believed that somehow on race day that my body would pull this out, but I didn't see how it was going to happen. But I believed it. So, yeah, the training that you're doing doesn't always seem like, oh my gosh, I don't think I could run another step after this. But you can, you can.
And once you've been around the sport for a while, you seem to forget what it was like coming in new and those sort of thoughts in your mind. And it's often you're only reminded when somebody who's not involved in the sport asks you what you do and you tell them and you get that look on their face and they tell you you're crazy.
Exactly. Yeah, and because I'm still relatively new to the sport, like only having done it a little over a year, everything is still new to me, and then doing two so close together, I mean, that's another first. I thought between Texas and Kona was close, and so I was like, everything is still new to me too, and I still keep just thinking, okay, well, people do it, and I'm not going to give up, so...
Well, you talk about the races you've done. You've had a fairly interesting year. If you look at Texas and the weather conditions in Texas in 2016 were I don't even know the word to describe how incredible that was. Kona was Kona. It was hot as always, and Arizona was also had its own challenges. So you haven't had the easiest of races, have you?
Well, luckily for me, when I did Chattanooga in 2015. It was perfect day. So my first experience went really well. So you know it can happen. I would hate to see someone whose first experience was Texas. That was such an interesting situation. So Yeah, that was fun.
The pictures from that run were phenomenal. I want to know, was the run wetsuit legal?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know, too, at the time when you're running in your ankles. There was no place that was dry, even in the middle of the street going up a hill. It's like water rushing down. I don't know that I've ever been in a real flood before. It was amazing.
Incredible. Sydney, when did Kona first sort of pop up on your radar? Obviously, you had done the half and you had done Chattanooga. When did you start thinking, you know what, this World Championship thing sounds like it could be fun?
Well, you know, I think that it's a little different when you're in a team, in a group like I am, because I have really great coaches and they get a lot of people to Kona. That's not unusual in our group. So everyone was talking about it way before I was talking about it or thinking about it. So my first one in Chattanooga, I placed third and just missed a Kona spot. There was two spots, and I missed it by 2 minutes. And so that put in my head that, you know, they kept thinking I could get Kona. And it put in my head that, you know, that it was a possibility if my day turned out right. So I started thinking about Kona only because other people were saying this is what you need to do, you know, and that you have this opportunity. So I didn't know how bad I wanted to get to Kona till I actually got there and found out how amazing that race is. It was so incredible.
It's funny, the progression, and I love the progression, particularly in your case, because I think it's because it's so almost compacted that, like you say, you've only been in the sport for just over a year where you almost qualified, and then you did qualify, and then you went and raced. And not only did you race, but you got a podium in Kona. You finished fourth in your age group. You've qualified again at Arizona. And I'm guessing you're not going back to Kona just to finish on the podium. You want to go back to finish on the top step of the podium.
You know, that's what's funny. I would say that you think like my coaches. That's not an expectation I have. More in my head is I want to go back and do the best that I can do for me and whatever it is on that day. I would love to finish on the podium again, but I'll be a year older. And what I will be pushing to do is do better, you know, try to improve what it is I do. So I hope that it works out well. I don't know. I don't know some of those people.
The triathlon scene's very different to the out-and-out marathoning scene. I do both. I love both groups of people, but there's something special about triathletes. Do you sort of wish you had got into the sport sooner?
Well, no, I guess I've never really thought about that. I really loved marathoning, and I did very well there, too. I took fourth. My last marathon was a couple years ago, and I took fourth in Chicago, and that was a great day, too. In fact, I did that, though, with my triathlon coaches. I had the same coach then who coached me through that race. I really love marathons. In fact, I'm kind of thinking I don't want to give up Ironman or triathlon, but I really would like to do another marathon and get back there. Try to get my speed back.
How incredible would it be to be able to do a marathon where you don't have to swim and bike before it? That's quite an interesting feeling, that I'm sure.
Yeah, that's good. But you know where my real goals lie is in trying to get my marathon time in my Ironman better, because I feel like that's probably the thing I need to work on the most. Is that I should be a runner, and I don't feel like I've been able to pull off the run that I should be able to do yet. So that gives me something to work for that I am trying to figure out.
Looking at your result in Kona, you seem to me to be a bit of an all-rounder. You're pretty solid in all three. I mean, you were 10th in your age group out of the water. You were fourth off the bike, and you finished fourth. So pretty solid. I mean, would you say one is a lot weaker than the other? I know you said you had learned to swim, but you must be pretty comfortable in the water swimming the times you are.
Yeah, I'm comfortable there, but I do need to improve that. I was really happy with my swim in Arizona this last Sunday because it was just within a minute of my time in Kona, which was a good time for me, which tells me I'm getting more consistent. I was not happy with my swim time in Texas because I swam an extra 500 or 400 yards, so that extra 10 minutes reflected that. So I'm still trying to get down to swimming straight, and what I am feeling is more confident and more comfortable in the water. And more solid, but I still need to improve that speed. I have work to do.
What are you most proud of as far as your athletic career is concerned?
What I'm sorry, I missed the question.
What are you most proud of?
Most proud of. Well, I wow. I don't know that. I know of my favorites. I loved the. I mean, I've done Boston 8 times, and 2013 was a hard year, and 2014 was a great year. The Chicago Marathon was. I'm really proud of that one, and I guess getting to Kona and getting a Kona spot and then podium in Kona. I'm pretty amazed by that I was able to get on the podium in Kona.
Well, what's been your biggest athletic disappointment, and what lessons did you learn from it?
Well, I have to tell you, St. George Half Ironman, not this last year, but the year before when I did it, it was hot. I got really bad cramps. I mean, I literally collapsed in front of the finish line and had to crawl across on my rear. Much of that, my friend and I were laughing hysterically. My husband wanted to disown me, but I managed to get across the finish line and pull off a fourth place in that one, and it was so awful.
And the lessons learned from that, I think, I mean, by the sounds of it, with the cramping, it might have been a nutrition issue, I'm guessing?
Absolutely. Let me tell you, a whole lot of work went into the nutrition after that. That was a huge learning experience. So a lot of the nutrition, the drinking, the staying on top of the nutrition and the drinking, and, yeah, big lesson there.
I guess that's something we all have to learn at some stage in our triathlon career, and unfortunately some of us learn it harder than others.
Yeah. Glad I knew that before I got to Kona, because this year was windy.
Sydney, what do you still want to achieve in the sport? You mentioned going back and doing as well as you possibly can for you personally, but what do you want to achieve still?
Well, I am focused right now on I am signed up for another Ironman before Kona, so I want to learn and get some more experience from that. And I would like to have another great experience at Kona. And then from there, I haven't really thought about it. We'll see how that goes. And I might focus on halves for a while after that, and we'll just see. I don't know. I know I don't want to run another marathon. I know that.
Well, looking at your build-up to Kona 2016 and knowing that you're going back now, is there anything you would change in the build-up second time round to what you did first time round?
No. And I think I had a lot of great experiences there, and I think that it worked well, getting the experience before I went to Kona. So, yeah, I don't know that I would I'm not going to do this many Ironmans every year. I don't think that, I think maybe a few more halves and only one full or something.
Who's your biggest inspiration? Who really fires you up?
I haven't really thought about that. I should know that, shouldn't I? Miranda Caffrey, I love her because she's such a great runner. So I'm always amazed to watch her, that how she can get off the bike and just and run that pace. So, and then Gwen Jorgensen. Yeah, I think that they're just amazing athletes. I think so many of them are, though. I'm in awe of all of them.
You mentioned those names, and you look at the top triathletes in the world. Describe to me what it's like sharing a course with them in Kona, knowing that on the day you're there with the best athletes in the world, fighting the same conditions, fighting the same wind, the same heat. It must be a pretty special feeling.
It is. And what's really fun at Kona is when you get to see the leaders coming back on the bike course, when you see how fast they're going, you actually get to see these people out on the course because of the way the bike course is. So that is really special, getting to see them in person and seeing them race against each other, seeing who's in the lead, and then finishing up with the results, seeing how that pulled off for the end of the day. Yeah, that is very special. And knowing that they're out there racing the same course and that there's so many of them, of the people that you just see, It is really special.
If you could go back and tell yourself, knowing what you know now, starting out your triathlon career, what would you tell yourself?
To listen to my coaches, to just know. I would say one of my biggest things is that I don't have as much faith in myself as other people have in me. So just to make sure to listen to believe in it, that I can do it.
Let's talk about the coaching side of things. There's a lot of athletes who are self-coached. There are lots who have coaches. What's important to look for in a coach? What do you look for when you looking for a coach?
Well, you know, I started out with this group just because I was encouraged. This is how I got into triathlon. As a matter of fact, I never really said, "Oh yeah, I think I'll switch over to triathlon." I started with a CompuTrainer class in the wintertime with this group. It's Balanced Art Multisport. It's our BAM group, and that was everybody there was into triathlon and Ironmans. That kind of got me thinking that way. So my coaches are in this team, so I knew, I met them and knew them. So what I look for in a coach and what has worked well for me is if you find someone that you can communicate with, because with my job, it's really, really demanding and they have to work around it a lot. So, but we still have to get the workouts in. So I would say with me, you have to find a coach that you can work with as a team and you need to listen to them. I don't second guess my coaches. I have too much to do at work and this is their job. They're really good at it. So I would say to find a good coach, and then I would say to, you know, communicate with them and so that someone that you can have a good relationship with that you trust. And that's what I do. I just trust that the training plan they give me is the right one, and then they work with me around my job, and that's what's been successful for me.
Work-wise, what do you do for a living, Sydney?
I am the managing director of financial affairs at a college, so I'm over the accounting department and, you know, all of the budget and all of that.
Pretty stressful?
Yeah, there's and even more so at certain times of the year. It is pretty stressful, and it's very, very busy.
Is triathlon a bit of an escape for you?
Yeah, I would say that it is. That when you have things on your schedule and you know you have to do that, I would say that it is an escape, because there, at that point in the day when you have to go do your workouts, all your focus has to be on your workouts, and so that gives your mind a break from all the other things that you have to deal with in the day.
Sydney, what's been the biggest struggle that you've had to overcome this year?
Just what we were talking about. The biggest struggle that I have to overcome is managing my time between work and family and training. So fitting it in.
I think that's something lots of age groupers battle with. It's probably the question I get asked the most. Have you got any sort of hacks that you use essentially or sort of things that you do that you think is the way to go? I mean, are you very analytical when it comes to planning? Do you plan your week once a week? Do you sit down and go, this is what I need to do, these are the sessions, and they get done regardless? How do you manage your calendar?
Well, I just look at my training plan, and that's up to my coach. So I look at a week in advance, you know, on Sunday I'll get my training plan. So I look at my training plan and I make sure that all of the schedule works. And then if it doesn't, then I let my coach know that on a certain day that I have too much going on, that I won't be able to do that, maybe 2 full-hour workouts or spend 3 hours that day. So she'll move it around to make it work with my work schedule. So I do sit down and I look at what she put out there, and then I kind of work with her on if that's going to work or not.
Looking at sort of dream races, obviously you've raced on the Big Island. You've raced some of the iconic Ironman races in the U.S. What are some of the other big races you'd like to do? Are they U.S.-based, around the world? What do you have your eye on?
Well, you know, I would like to do some of those international races that I haven't chosen which one, so, but I know that that's in the back of my mind. The other one that I wanted to race is Santa Rosa, but it was called Vineman, and I'm actually signed up for that one next year, so I'm really excited to be going to do that. It was Vineman was my first half 2.5 years ago, so I'm really excited to get back there and do the full. That was on my list. And then I haven't picked which European race, but I would love to go do, and maybe one of the ones in Mexico. I'm really fond of beaches and warmth.
Are you when it comes to choosing races, do you choose sort of courses that suit you? What are you strong at? Do you love the faster, flatter sort of courses, or do you love the hillier ones?
Okay, so what's funny is I'm not I should probably be much more analytical about those kinds of things. But up to this point, you know, like I'm just so new to this. I sign up for the ones my coaches tell me to sign up. We go as a group. That's a lot of the fun of it for me. And that's what got me into it. And that's what keeps me here. And that's what keeps me challenged, is that we have a really great team. And so when we go into races, there's usually quite a few of us. And so I kind of go with the pack. We had 7 of us in Kona.
Wow. And that's incredible, and that's probably some great advice to somebody starting out in the sport too, is find like-minded people to hang out with, because the sport can get very lonely, and the races themselves are quite lonely. When you're out there for a long time, you're very much in your head, and it's nice to be able to have a group of people who get you and you get them.
Absolutely, and we have such a group of people that aren't racing will come and cheer, so you know you're going to have your cheer points along the and get some encouragement along that run where you need it so bad. And yeah, and I wouldn't do this sport. I would have never, without the social aspect, without the team, without the fun, without that. Because like you said, you brought up earlier, does it give you a chance to get out of your head? This is my fun. This is my entertainment. And it, the people make it so special.
Yeah, that they do. And I think that's a great point to leave off. Sydney, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. I think it's going to inspire a lot of people. And yeah, best of luck in the build-up to Weimar next year and Kona 2017. I think it's going to be another incredible race. And I know you're going to go better than fourth. I can't wait to see what you do.
Thank you. I love your faith in me. Thanks so much.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.